Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, December 24th, 2023, Romans.
Very good.
All right, in case for those of you who can't read, are you crazy? We can't read. The schedules that were put out on the front doors, if you came in. Classes have been changed next week to Thursday and Friday because the city is doing a lot of work on the water lines. There will be no water at Upland Bible Church. No water for a lot of the people living around here. So next week, the classes will be Thursday and Friday, and then Sunday, next Sunday, Bible class, communion, and a movie. Now, there is you have an option. We can have the classes Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But no water means no bathrooms. That means you all have to wear Depends. I'll take that you'll accept the Thursday and Friday. Well, this is unusual, doesn't happen very often, Christmas Eve, Sunday. And as you have traveled around the city and gone to all your different stores for this and that and something else, you hear all the time, Happy Holidays. That is not what Christmas is about. Not at all. And I never, ever say Happy Holidays. I say Merry Christmas. What is Christmas? Well, for a lot of people, Christmas is all about family, friends, football, and food. But they've left out the most important. They've left out faith. For many others, Christmas is Santa Claus, but you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why, because Santa Claus is dead. So for others, it's Santa Claus, Frosty the Snowman, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and today, Minions. For still others, it's a Christmas tree and Christmas lights, mistletoe, eggnog, singing carols, and giving gifts. Now that last one, giving gifts. That does have a relationship to Christmas. In fact, it even helps describe what Christmas is. On that very first Christmas, there was the giving of gifts. Magi from the east came to worship the Christ child, the King of the Jews. And they brought him gifts. They brought him gold and frankincense and myrrh. Turn over to Matthew chapter 2. Now these Magi, they're Gentiles. They're not Jews. They are Gentiles who have placed their faith in the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And they have come to worship the Messiah. They have come to worship the King of the Jews. Now, it's just a baby in a manger at this point. But they recognize that baby in a manger as the King of the Jews. And they traveled all the way. Probably they were coming from Iran, Persia, all the way to Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem. And they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." They have come to worship the Christ child. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, "Where the Christ, where was the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the ruler of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and he said, "Go and make a careful search for the child." Herod wanted them to find the Christ child because he wanted to kill him. "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship." Well, that was a lie. So that he could go and kill him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Why are they worshiping him? He is the living and true God. He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords. And they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts. Gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So a couple of things. One, these Magi were the first Gentiles who worship the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was a baby. They brought gifts. They brought gifts to the king. Now, many of you in Upland Bible Church, you also come as often as you can. Why? Why do you come to Upland Bible Church? To worship the king. We assemble here to worship the king, Jesus Christ. And you bring gifts as you come to worship the king. You bring the gift of positive volition. Positive volition to God and to the Word of God. You bring the gift of genuine humility because you have respect for the authority of the king. You have respect for the authority of the mind of the king, the Word of God. You have respect for the authority of the pastor who teaches the Word of God. So you bring gifts. You come to worship the King. Every time the Word of God is taught, you bring positive volition and humility, and you respond to the grace and the truth of God's Word. Two, the greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the world. The greatest gift of all is the gift that God the Father gave to the world. Christmas is about God's indescribable gift of His Son. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15 says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." God the Father gave the gift of His Son, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Three, at Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love to the world. At Christmas, we celebrate God's gift of love to the world. Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. John 3, verse 16, "For God loved the world so much that He gave His uniquely born Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall never perish, but have everlasting life." Four, eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Eternal life is a gift from God to anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this salvation is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, that no one should boast." 5. God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem, on that very first Christmas. God delivered the gift of love, His Son, in Bethlehem on that very first Christmas. Six, that first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. That first Christmas was the greatest miracle that the world will ever know. There is no miracle as great as the miracle of that first Christmas. 7. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Christmas is the celebration of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. Eight. The eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory and in genuine humility took on true humanity. Why did he take on true humanity? Because his mission was to go to a cross. And on that cross he solved the world problem of sin. So the eternal Son of God willingly left heaven and left glory and in genuine humility took on true humanity so that he could go to the cross. He was born to die on a cross and solve the world's problem of sin. 9. Without his coming, without that first Christmas, all mankind is helpless and hopeless and lost. Without that first Christmas, the world has no hope. 10. But because of that first Christmas, and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and his work on the cross, the whole world has a hope. But because of that first Christmas and the incarnation of the eternal Son of God and his work on the cross, the whole world has a hope. 11. In fact, Jesus Christ is the only hope that the world has. Jesus Christ is the only hope that the world has. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I know you all know that. Luke chapter 1. Then in this section, Luke 1, 26 to 56, we have the announcement of the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the birth of Jesus Christ. Verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Now that's very important. You will give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Now turn back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with the child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The prophet is the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah 7 verse 14. And this was prophesied 700 years before the birth of Christ. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 7:14. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. That name, Jesus, is very, very important. It's actually a transliteration of the Greek word Jesus, but it's also the same as the Hebrew name Joshua. And Joshua in the Hebrew looks like this. Y-E-S-H-U-I-N-A. Yeshua. And that comes from the verb yasha, which means to rescue, to deliver, to save. Now Joshua was a great deliverer who led the nation Israel to military victory over the Canaanites. But we have a greater deliverer than Joshua. We have Jesus. So one, the greatest deliverer that the world will ever know is Jesus. The greatest deliverer that the world will ever know is Jesus. Two, he rescues and delivers the believer, the one who simply believes in Christ for eternal salvation, he rescues and delivers the believer in four great victories. Four great victories. First, he has delivered those who believe in him. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, he has delivered us from our sins. He solved mankind's sin problem when he went to the cross. When Jesus Christ was on the cross, God the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world. Your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world, poured them out on Christ. And then he judged them in Jesus Christ once and for all. So Jesus Christ solved the world's sin problem through his work on the cross. Secondly, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. He delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict through the grace provision of the unique spiritual life. So secondly, he delivers us from being a casualty in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict through the grace provision of the unique spiritual life. Thirdly, he will rescue and deliver one generation of church-age believers from the tribulation period by means of the rapture. He will rescue and deliver one generation of church-age believers from the tribulation period by means of the rapture. And fourth, he will provide us with a resurrection body to live with him forever in eternity. The final victory. That is, he will deliver all those who believe in him from eternal condemnation and judgment. That is, he will deliver all those who believe in him from eternal condemnation and judgment. That very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that the world will ever know was prophesied 700 years before the incarnation and virgin birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. It was prophesied by both Micah and Isaiah. Turn over to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah 5, verse 2. Micah 5, verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel, and his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. And in Isaiah, turn over to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now turn over to chapter 9 of Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, we have one of the greatest prophetic passages describing the greatest of all miracles, the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. And in this prophecy, we see the miracle Messiah. Isaiah 9, verse 6, because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. Now, in Hebrew syntax, normally the verb comes first, but in this verse, the noun comes first. Yelev is the Hebrew word for child, and that comes first. And that places tremendous emphasis on the word child. In other words, what is God doing here? One, God is putting the spotlight on this very special and unique child. God is putting the spotlight on this very special and unique child. Two, the eternal Son of God left heaven. He left glory. And through the incarnation and virgin birth, he took on true humanity on that very first Christmas. The eternal Son of God left heaven and left glory, and through the incarnation and virgin birth, he took on true humanity. Three, there has never been a child like this child, and there will never be a child like him ever again. There has never been a child like this child, and there will never be a child like him ever again. So literally this says, because a child has been born. Now the couple of things. One, the prophetic perfect. We have a prophetic perfect tense here, which emphasizes the absolute certainty of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. The prophetic perfect emphasizes the absolute certainty of the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. It emphasizes the historical nature of this unique birth. Two, the deliverance that brings rejoicing to the people of God is not something vague, but something to be brought about by a birth. A birth in history upon this earth. It is a definite time in a definite place for a definite purpose. The cross, to go and solve the world problem of sin. So the deliverance that brings rejoicing to the people of God is not something vague, but something to be brought about by a birth in history upon this earth at a definite time and in a definite place and for a definite purpose. And that purpose, he was born to die on a cross, to solve the world problem of sin. Three, the birth of this child is a grace gift from God for the whole world. The birth of this child is a grace gift from God for the whole world. Because a child has been born for us. That's the dative of indirect object, for our interest and for our benefit. So a child is born, but this verse also says that a son is given. The word son is the Hebrew word ben And Son here is the second person of the Trinity. Son is the eternal Son of God. The verb to give is Nathan. We get our name Nathan from it. It means to give, to provide. It's in the Niphal stem, which is the passive of the Kal stem. It means to be given. And it speaks of the procession. That's a very important word. Procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. Again, the perfect tense is the prophetic perfect, which views this future event as being so certain that it has already taken place. Because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. So one, the first phrase, a child has been born for us, that emphasizes the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. It emphasizes the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah. It emphasizes the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that first phrase, a child has been born for us, emphasizes the incarnation of the eternal Son of God, the virgin conception and birth of the Messiah, and the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two, it emphasizes the fact that the Messiah will be a son of David. Jeremiah 23, verse 5, Jeremiah 33, verse 15. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23. And this is a very, very important passage in the Old Testament scriptures because it shows also that Jesus Christ is Jehovah. The word Jehovah is the tetragrammaton, and it's sometimes used for God the Father, sometimes for God the Son, Jesus Christ, sometimes for God the Holy Spirit. Here it's used for Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Jeremiah 23, verse 5, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and righteous in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord, our righteousness. In the Hebrew, Jehovah Tzidkenu. Jesus Christ's special title, the Lord, our righteousness. Point three, the second phrase. So in our phrase in Isaiah 9, verse 6, because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. That second phrase, a son has been given for us, emphasizes the procession of the eternal Son of God from heaven to earth. And it emphasizes the deity of Jesus Christ. The deity of Christ. Four, it emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. It emphasizes the fact that the Messiah is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Five, the child to be born is the eternal Son of God. The child to be born is the eternal Son of God. Six, therefore, together, these phrases present the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. Together, these phrases present the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. And what does that mean? 7, Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He is the miracle Messiah. Jesus Christ is undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He is the miracle Messiah. So we have in Isaiah 9:6, because a child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. The miracle of that very first Christmas. And then it says, and the government will be on his shoulders. Now that first phrase talks about the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. A child show has been born for us. A son has been given for us. That's the first advent of Jesus Christ. The next phrase, and the government will be on his shoulders. That's the second coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And the government will be on his shoulders. That is, 1, at the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ will establish his kingdom on earth, and he will rule the entire world. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes back, he will establish his kingdom on earth and he will rule the entire world. 2, not only will Jesus Christ be the ruler of the world, but the entire responsibility of justice and righteousness in the administration of government rests on his shoulders. Not only will Jesus Christ be the ruler of the world, but the entire responsibility of justice and righteousness in the administration of government rests upon his shoulders. 3, the child is to be the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So Isaiah 9, verse 6, sounds like this. Because the child has been born for us, a son has been given for us. That's the first advent of the miracle Messiah, that first Christmas. And the government will be on his shoulders. That's the second advent of Jesus Christ. And now, this miracle Messiah is described in 4 ways. And he will be called, this miracle Messiah will be called Wonder Counselor, Mighty Omnipotent God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. And that's where we're going to take it up in part 2. So we'll take a break, give you a few moments to go outside and warm up in 40 degree temperature. And then part 2.